We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. This is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. As promised, transitioning from Penn State football to Penn State basketball, and Jeff Brown, after a two-week hiatus, joins us now to talk about the latest in Penn State hoops. How are you, Jeff?
I am good. Thank you very much. You know, some people talk about the cardiac kids. We've got the erratic kids.
Yeah. Usually cardiac kids has a positive connotation to it. Mm-hmm. If you called this group the cardiac kids, it wouldn't be as positive. Another tough loss to Purdue at home. But still, you know, I think it needs to be said on paper. We'll get into all the ins and the outs of that. A missed call. An overtime period where Purdue took over, but this is now a 7-14 Penn State team, 0-10 mm-hmm. in the Big Ten, 8-game losing streak. Does fighting the way that they fought in a game against a really good Purdue team, should that or does that change perceptions or change what people think about where all this is going?
Well, you know, things I don't think could have been more bleak than they were after the Rutgers loss.
That's true.
That was tough. And I really kind of wondered how many people they were going to get into the Jordan Center, despite it being the coaches versus cancer game on Thursday night, because it was so bitterly cold and just nasty stuff and everything else. And they had a really – I didn't hear the final total, but they had a really great crowd out there, very vocal, and they retreated to an incredible basketball game. Yeah, I don't quite know how you lose to Rutgers on the road and only score 60 points and then bring Purdue in and score 90. It's, again, the season that you've talked about before of you never know what you're going to get. It's up and down. It's erratic. When you think you've got one thing, you don't, but you've got another thing. And I don't know where it goes from here.
And I think that remains the essence of Penn State's situation. You know, you can talk about losing games the same way. I think if you that's fair. They've shown a tendency to lose games just like this one in the same fashion. But mm-hmm. what it comes down to is exactly what you're describing, is if, you know, a Saturday home game against Rutgers, you know, that type team shows up, and then 5 days later this team shows up. Trying to figure out which one shows up is really the essence of Pat Chambers' problem here.
But here's the thing, and I was reading, of course, all the naysayers are out now, and a couple of folks were intimating that Pat had lost the team. Well, you have not lost your team if your team is down 17 points and they rally to go up two with less than a minute to go in the game. That team against Purdue could have bagged it any number of times, because Purdue was all due respect to them, they are a really good basketball team. They've got some really great players, but they were hitting some shots that they had no earthly business of hitting. And like I said, there were probably six or seven times when Penn State could have just said, you know what, we're done, and given up. And they didn't, and they rallied back, and it was heartbreaking. After they went up two with like 58 seconds left or whatever it happened to be, wow. Yeah, to lose in that fashion, and that's got to be difficult. You come out in the overtime, and they were obviously tired, and I'm sure they were stunned that they didn't walk away with a regulation win. But they didn't give up, and they didn't give up on Patrick. And they're still solidly with each other, and they have each other's backs, and that was evident against Purdue.
So not buying the Penn State's quitting on Pat Chambers. I think Purdue's a good example of that, but it's tough to say where that goes, that idea mm-hmm. goes, if you because you're still 0-10 in the Big Ten. You know what I mean? I don't know how much longer you can keep getting and asking for that type of fight without the result. I don't know. I mean, when you're dealing with 18 to 22 year old, I just don't know how much longer he's going to get that. But, you know, the one thing I think you can say over Pat Chambers' time is that he has generally requested fight. That's what he's recruited on. That's what he's looking for. That's what he wants his personality to be. And he's generally gotten it.
And you've got the second half of the season, and yeah, let's face it, the record as it stands now, they're not going anywhere unless it's one of the really, really, really lesser tournaments. But, you know, they've got a chance to prove themselves. They've got a chance to right the ship at least a little bit, you know, get to show some growth with the freshman guys. But the question I'm going to ask you, because I just asked a couple of guys over the weekend, we were into a conversation about this, is, you know, they were all gung-ho of, oh, we got to get somebody else in there. First of all, who? Second of all, how are you going to pay him? It's not like Mike Krzyzewski is going to leave Duke and come to Penn State. And number three, you're not looking at the negative things. You know, what does this do to recruiting? What does this do to the players who are already there? Are they going to stick around for another coach? Because he's not going to be a big-name coach. You know, so how exactly are you going to improve over Patrick Chambers, and how much are you going to improve over Patrick Chambers? That's my argument is, yeah, the season's going bad now, and it's very easy to say get rid of the head coach, but Patrick Chambers has done a lot of really good things. He's improved the talent immensely. It hasn't shown sometimes on the court that the talent has improved immensely, but it has. So, you know, how do you shake it up? It's kind of like in football when folks were getting down on James Franklin, and you say, oh, well, you know, you replace him, you set the program back. So you got to be really careful about this stuff, and I do not think that now is the time to be talking about that stuff.
I'm talking to Jeff Brown about Penn State basketball here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, and somewhere there was a question in there for me, and I'm not used to answering them. Usually, I like to just do the easy part and ask them, but. I am,
and then you sit back and let us make fools of ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. I like to position everybody we talk to make fools of themselves. I don't like it when the roles are reversed. So I would just say I'm of the same belief that if you look at realistically where Penn State's basketball program is at in the pecking order, what funds are available to get a coach, how appealing the job is if you were to get rid of Patrick Chambers. How appealing that job is to the market of available coaches. And what you're looking at getting is somebody from a lower tier, you know, mid-major type program who shows some promise, right? But who has to make a jump and make a transition to a bigger time job. You're not going to get an established coach right now.
You're rolling the dice that he's going to do the job.
So you're rolling the dice. One way or another, you're rolling the dice. And I think I do feel like Penn State is not going to make that move. They're not going to do that because I don't know how much upside, as you're mentioning, I don't know how much upside is immediately there while taking the types of risks you're taking by getting rid of a coach. I can only presume all the players would fight for, you know what I mean? If Pat Chambers were to get fired today, I think you would hear quite an uproar from his team. That's what I think. So I think Penn State might not have much of a choice but to ride it out for longer. You know, how far does that go, though, I guess is my question. If that's an offer for the season, then what? So there's still time and opportunity. I don't see it happening before the end of the year because that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh, no. Now, and I hate that these words are coming out of my mouth because I'm the kind of guy that said Mike Tomlin ought to be fired, you know, but, and then people say, well, you know, the ball didn't bounce their way this time and a few more plays here and there and it would have been different. And I don't buy it with the Mike Tomlin thing, but I do buy it with the Patrick Chambers thing. When you look at this season, they have been so close in so many games, you know, maybe two possessions away or one possession away or something like that. And the ball or the officiating or whatever has not gone their way. So I don't, I could easily see, especially with the recruiting class coming in and they're not losing a lot, you know, they're losing Josh, but I could see that Penn State could bounce back and have a great season next season.
And I'll reiterate the point I think I made with you a couple of weeks ago is that if you realistically, you know, I know hindsight's 2020 and nobody really would have forecasted an 0-10 Big Ten record, but the reality was this team just was not going to be in a position to be a winning team this year. They weren't able to deal with the loss of Tony Carr. You were hopeful that the young kids would come in, but that's a big ask of them. And you've seen with the ups and downs, and that's one of the hearts of the inconsistency of Penn State's team is when you're leaning on these guys who weren't ready to be leaned on. They weren't the type of freshmen who were going to come in that right away and be dominant. Let me ask you this, because you know, I think it's the biggest story of the game. We haven't touched on it yet, but just the missed call late. I say missed call. I wouldn't say controversial call, because if you watch, there's no controversy about it. That was a missed call on Lamar Stevens driving down the lane, karate chopped really a couple times, loses the handle. They're up 85-83 at the time. Don't get the call, and then things fall apart a little bit for him. And one thing I thought was interesting before I turn it over to you is, you know, he was talking about it after the game, said it could have cost him the game, was clearly a missed call. It was blatant. What he said was it hurts for the team. He said he's hurting for coach, too, because I think he did a great job. So that touches on what we talked about just a minute ago.
Well, you know, I when my kids are playing football and soccer and all that, I never ever let them use the excuse the ref beat them, because and it's very true as far as I'm concerned. I'll go back and find maybe 7 or 8 plays in their game where if they had gone a different way, if they had, you know, shot better or whatever, it wouldn't have mattered if that call was right or wrong. And I'll say that, topping it off with Penn State. But I will say, and I wish I could remember who wrote it over the weekend, but it's very, very true, especially in Big Ten play. The better teams get the calls. You know, the underdog doesn't get the call most times. And I will go on record as saying that was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen, for both teams, that I've ever seen in all the years that I've done Big Ten basketball. That was horrible. And that call was maybe the tip of the iceberg. But, you know, you go back and say, you make a free throw here, you do this here or do that, maybe you're not in a position where you need that call to be made correctly in order to win the game. So I'm not blaming the officials, but I am definitely saying that there is a bias, at least in the Big Ten. The good teams get the benefit of the doubt. Rarely do the underdogs.
I think that's true for all levels of basketball. Creeps into referees, their psyche. That creeps into their mind there. A couple other things from the game, real quick. Carson Edwards, Patrick Chambers, basically said the obvious. It looked like we didn't game plan for him, even though they did. 38 points, 12 out of 24, 8 of 15 from three-point range. Now you look ahead a little bit. Penn State at Northwestern tonight, Monday. Then they're at Ohio State on Thursday. We'll start to learn a little bit more. And a lot of people hope win number one is coming in Big Ten play. That's Jeff Brown joining us here on the Keystone Kickoff Show to talk Penn State hoops. Check us out. Check this segment out and all others at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.